The word is hola. This is an oral history interview held with Mr. Leonard Messer, the superintendent of the Jacksonville Board of Education. The date is 13 February 1995, and it's in relation to a paper topic, which is Jacksonville, Post-Depression Public Education, Special Challenges from 1932 to 1992. Sir, first, we want to thank you for taking this time. And you've had a chance to look at the questions first. I'd like to ask, were the schools built in a time frame close to each other? When were they built?
The present building is the oldest building. The Kitty Stone Gymnasium was built in 1923. The last building built was the current building we're in, 1977. Now, from that, it runs the gamut. We have the high school main classroom building was built between the years of 46 and 48. And then from 51 through 55, we had additional classroom space at the high school plus the main classroom building at Kitty Stone. And then from roughly 65 till 1968, we had additions to the junior high school and a gymnasium at the high school. And then from 68 until about 77, we had the pods at Kitty Stone constructed, six identical pods, each one designed to hold one complete grade. And outside of some minor renovations, that's been the extent of the buildings in Jackson.
Would there be a record, for instance, at the county courthouse or at Jacksonville City Hall, building permits, anything like that?
I don't know. Part of the difficulty is going to be when you trace back the Jacksonville City system. Of course, as I think most people are aware, the city sold the city system to the State Board of Education in 1929. The money exchanged hands. Now, JSU, at that time, the State Teachers College, was given authority to operate schools. And so from 1929 until present, all physical assets, a physical asset, both physical and fiscal, belong to JSU. In the late 60s, I think about 67, when JSU became a university, the Board of Trustees was given the authority to run the Jacksonville City Schools. Now, in the meantime, you've had a Board of Education operative since, well, best I can tell, the early 30s, that has functioned, more so advisory. After the early 70s, the local school board then took a more active role in the operation of the schools. As a matter of fact, at one time prior to that, the president of the university also served as school superintendent. And much of the teaching staff at JSU would be assigned at the high school or the grammar school. We were called laboratory schools. I've got a document you can take with you that lists the lease and the agreements of the lease and so forth. It's a lot of fascinating reading. But all that to say that presently, trying to ascertain who owns the buildings, we do know that JSU owns all the land. We know that some of the buildings were built with JSU funds, some built with state funds, some built with local funds. But the point is moot, since by Alabama law, he who owns the land owns the improvements thereon, unless someone can move them off. Presently, we're engaged in a project to either rebuild or renovate the current high school campus. And that's one of the flies in the ointment, in that before we can get a bond issue, we've got to show clear ownership of the land or have clear use of it for an indefinite period. And at the same time, we know that JSU is expanding their programs, and they have made some indication over the last 4 or 5 years that they would be absorbing more of the high school campus. For example, the Home Economics Building, which was built in 53. It was built straight off of a Better Homes and Gardens plan set. JSU is going to reclaim that. The building that contains the boilers for the heating plant at the high school, JSU will at some point reclaim. I was given notice last year by Dr. McGee that because of JSU's moving to the Division I standing, we may lose our privileges with the stadium. We do rent the stadium currently, but we may lose all opportunities to use that stadium. And again, that presents us with a problem. But the bottom line is there's a convoluted, hazy mixture of history with the city schools. And of course, that has had some political ramifications. We've had local political entities and leaders that use that as a wedge to divide the city. We have others that use that as a honey to attract, you know, when any other system in the state would give their right arm to be associated with a university. But because of that relationship, it's a problem. And whatever we do in the future will be colored by that relationship with JSU.
So not only does JSU have title because it's their land, but by JSU having influence, so the state could come by and also say, this is ours as well.
Yes.
And the state could come in and take it back.
The state do that because the deed went to the State Board of Education originally. Now, what I don't want to do with JSU is to get into a turf war. Although, should either one of us have our backs pressed against a wall, if we can't work this out in a gentlemanly type manner, then of course we'll have a let the legals take care of it. And at that point, we don't know what might happen. I do want to emphasize, though, in my tenure here, I've been superintendent since 93 and acting since mid-92. And I've been very pleased with the cooperation of JSU with our programs, our students, our teachers. Of course, we always want to enhance those, but we've had a good relationship. And JSU has offered opportunities. But again, with JSU's growing programs and our growing programs, somewhere the growing pains are going to collide and something will have to give.
Sir, who would be the point of contact at JSU in regards to grounds issues? For instance, if some maintenance needed to be done and you were to take that to the university, who would you contact?
Well, normally, at one time, the university performed the maintenance.
Okay.
We went through Jim MacArthur and the building plant facilities. But again, over the years, various services have been pulled back, not for many reasons. One, the city wanting to take a more active role, funding cutbacks at the university. Presently, the university does no maintenance on our facilities. They have not done any active maintenance for over 15 years or longer. On the other hand, they're always there in an advisory capacity. And they're always there in an emergency capacity. For example, we had a transformer blow up two years ago. And within a day, it was replaced, upgoing. And of course, all they charged us was their exact cost to have that transformer replaced. We buy our power through JSU. But as far as routine maintenance, we don't get anything from JSU.
So you do have an association, although right now not very tight, with buildings and grounds maintenance.
Right.
And then beyond that, maybe vice president for?
Vice President George Miller, in the business vice president of business affairs, may have most of the information.
Okay.
Back in 88. JSU prepared a document. I saw the document. I don't have a copy, showing the services the university provided for the city schools and their approximate cost equivalent. And it added up to a sizable sum. Of course, one thing that still continues is our power. We buy from JSU, who has their own substation. And so we pay about 60 to 65% of the going rate of a business in this area. Plus, we pay no demand charge, which in commercial installments, that can run as much as 100% of your power consumption. Of course, the downside is we have to pay for the maintenance of our poles and transformers and lines. But again, we found we save money in that relationship.
In the tracking back through history, I know history in the United States in general terms has gone through a lot of progressive, mm-hmm. social, one could venture to say communist if you didn't want to get beat up, changes. And I was wondering if you had any insights in regards to, for instance, progressive education in the 1930s.
I checked back, a cursory look at what I could find, and the only indication found is a professor that came to JSU, or in the normal school, in the, I think, 30s, Dr. Self, who had a progressive outlook. And I understand, because of that, he was relegated to non-laboratory school duties at that time. So I infer from that that this community and JSU, or its normal school, did not receive progressive education.
Very conservative.
Very conservative, yeah. Although, let me hasten on to say that Dr. Sell retired some in the last decade at JSU and was well known for his ability, his competence, a very fine professor. But back in those early days, that progressivism, I think, labeled his style. And I've seen no other reference or record, although there could be, but I'm not knowledgeable of that.
There was a trend for educational reform. We started at the end of the 1800s to move toward a curriculum in the U.S. And if you wanted to graduate, you had to follow this specific kind of curriculum. But as we moved along, life experiences became an issue. You know, what could society teach you that you didn't necessarily have to learn in school? And today's reaction, of course, would be vocational technical schools. But there was a movement with the progressive era to make life experiences viable as a schooling option. Do you know if that took place here?
I have no knowledge, plus or minus.
Do you know if the Progressive Education Association was active here?
That I don't know.
Presently is the NEA.
NEA is very active. Well, it's active by default. We have our local education association,
right,
that is affiliated with the Alabama Educational Association. Now, to be a member of the Alabama Educational Association, you must also affiliate with the National Education Association. Many of our teachers don't agree with the stance of the NEA,
right,
on many topics. But to receive the benefits, primarily liability insurance,
mm-hmm.
and some life insurance policies, they have to be a member of AEA and NEA.
Which you'd have to have as a teacher today, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Now, our local education association is very active. They're very supportive. They do raise issues. But we do get along well with that particular organization. Administratively, we get along well with it.
Have you heard of the American Federation of Teachers?
Yes.
And is that still active to your knowledge?
It's not active in this area.
There was a great push for certain unions to be taken over by communists, post-progressive. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that led into the Red Scare and McCarthyism, and look, now they're in our schools. But to your knowledge of that sort here in Jacksonville, you...
The only thing, I've been with the school since 1970.
Right.
And in the early mid-70s, there was a push to, quote, unionize. It failed here, as it did in the other systems in the state, to bring in some sort of union structure. Now, it may have been with the AFT, I don't recall, but it was beyond the AEA. But again, that failed miserably.
Was that the government pushing it down? Was it Alabama government?
No, it was just a movement. Now, whether it was grassroots, I don't know. But it was, as a matter of fact, that was one of the few times that the superintendents in Alabama have join forces in a wholehearted effort to defeat a particular issue. I think the only time I understand since then there's been a wholehearted issue like that has been on school finance and school reform in the last 2 or 3 years.